Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi everyone, welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley, with me as always, Bagman and Rabbit. How's it going, guys?
What up?
Yo.
How are we?
Dialing in. We're so close to getting a perfectly sounding podcast. So for all our listeners, next time you listen to us, all three of us will sound amazing. But today, Rabbit sounds a little bit megaphony.
I'm sorry.
This is the third and final part of the Western Conference breakdown. We are 3 days away from the NBA kicking off. But I just wanted to hit something really quickly before we get into the last five teams. And those teams are OKC, the Rockets, the Spurs, Clippers, Golden State. And of course, with every podcast we do, we're going to talk about the key additions, the subtractions. We're going to rank them. We're going to give you the ESPN ranking and then a bit of yes or no, hypothetical, and weak link. But Gerald Green, is it Gerald Green from Miami Heat? $25,000 for shooting fingers?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Come on.
That's pretty gnarly. Westbrook has been doing finger pistols for the last, like, forever.
Aren't guns, like, celebrated and enjoyed by all in America?
Yeah, but how can he get fined more for pretending to shoot a gun than actually shooting a gun or owning a gun?
Yeah, totally. And what if he did like a crossbow? Would he get fined for that? Or maybe if you busted out like a lightsaber and just sliced them up, would that be just as bad? Like, what the fuck is this? It's stupid.
It's what your boy Meta World Peace was saying, how soft the NBA's gotten in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
it's
but
pretty bad.
I don't understand why they're anti-gun. America loves guns. I thought Miami loved guns. Doesn't everyone have a fucking machine gun down there?
You'd have to take it up with Silver.
That's crazy.
He's obviously setting a precedent. Don't they do that in the start of the season? They just want to, you know, let everyone know they're not taking any bullshit on certain issues and we're going to crack down hard on the precinct.
Maybe on race.
Maybe it's just all gestures. Maybe it's not guns. Maybe it's all gestures they're off.
All right. Well, we are down to the last five teams and the most exciting and difficult teams to discuss. Let's get straight into it with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Still the worst uniforms in the league. What do you think, guys? Where did ESPN rank them?
They've got them at fifth.
I'm curious where you guys all had them. This is a big thing. So just take your time with this. But where did you have them, Bag?
I think they're going to finish second this year.
I like it. That's me clapping. I got them first for the regular season.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why not?
I got them second as well. I wrestled with it a little bit, but this is a team that won over 60 games consistently with Perkins and Derek Fisher. Durant, Westbrook, and Ibaka, it seems like all you need. And they're better than that now. So I don't know. Like we say, all things being healthy, they could just rampage through the season. You know, Durant's going to be on a mission if his foot holds up. Westbrook was just a fucking juggernaut last season. I don't know. These guys are going to have a big point to prove. Durant may or may not be there next year. They've got a lot riding on this season.
Well, another big thing is Deion Waiters is in contract talks.
He's a fucking punchline.
Yeah, okay. So we should all put that behind us.
Well, that's the issue, though. That's where they've got a hole at two guard. And, you know, he's part of the reason that they do have a hole at two guard. He's not dependable.
Yeah.
Neither is Roberson, and neither is Singler. And neither is Morrow, really. These are all the guys you want to plug in there. And if any of those guys was like above average player on both ends, then we'd be talking about them being almost a lock to make the Western Conference Finals, I think.
So the starting five, we got Westbrook, Robertson, Durant, Ibaka, Adams. Adams over Cantor.
No, I don't know.
It's hard
you
to
never
say.
Know.
It's hard to say.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Adams starts.
It's good to see Steve Novak still on the basketball team.
Yeah. But it's all about the Durantula. It, you know, everyone's been talking this last year sort of that LeBron and Davis and Steph Curry and Harden is like the top tier players in the league. And I think Durant's going to want to stamp his authority and try and be MVP straight off the bat. And if OKC really want to keep him, I think they're going to have to cater to him a little bit and sort of roll it as he sees fit. So I wonder if he can like chill out on just sort of trying to get his own name back in the conversation for the good of the team, because there's a lot of guys in here that are going to want the ball in their hands a lot. So that's a concern. True. For sure.
Westbrook needs the ball. Waiters is a black hole. He wants the ball. But, I mean, we've talked about this before between, like, say, Westbrook and Durant, both equally needing shots, mm-hmm. and it always seems to work pretty well.
It'll be interesting to see if they play Westbrook in the backcourt with DJ Augustine or Cameron Payne, who's the rookie come over, who looks pretty handy as well. Because that's going to be the thing for OKC, is that they want for nothing. You know, they've got scoring, they've got distribution, creation, they've got guys who can play defense, they've got shot blocking. Yep. They've got everything they need. So I think it's going to be interesting, especially for first-year coach, to try and find the combinations, because there's going to be something in that, like how do you work Cantor in there? The bigs rotation is going to be interesting because, you know, Collison's still effective. So there's a lot of – and the same with Singler and Waiters and all the wing guys as well. So I reckon it's just going to be a matter of time before they get that nice little blend of the perfect personalities and the perfect types of players together by the end of the season. And they might just roll everyone offensively. They might just outscore everyone and go all the way. I wouldn't be shocked.
And what about Serge Ibaka?
Well, we know that he isn't a second option scorer. You saw that when Westbrook, even in the finals, when Westbrook was down and Durant was trying to carry them and they wanted someone. This is like two seasons ago, and they needed Ibaka to step up, and he doesn't have that offensive prowess yet. I don't know if he got it back last season. I know he improved shooting threes, which is handy, I guess. But, when they're firing, he does his role well, and he leaves scoring to Westbrook and Durant. If he can just have another beast season, defensive player of the year season, and rebound and sort of plug holes for Cantor on off when he's on offense, when he's on D, that's all he needs to do. And he can focus on that, and that's when they're at their best. So I don't need him to score that much, but I need him to step up in D and rebound and just plug in holes.
But it's going to be a personality test as well, because you know he's a bit of a cat. You remember from the when he was playing with the Spanish national team and he was bitching about getting minutes all the way through it, having to play behind Pau Gasol, thinking that he was the man. So, and you know, from you were saying about how he didn't step up 2 years ago. Well, what about at the beginning of the year last year when Westbrook and Durant were both out? We're like, here it is, Ibaka is going to be the man, and he wasn't ready for it. He didn't do shit, and so he's this sort of fringe all-star player, and he needs to know that he's never going to be a first or second option. And even on this team now, he's not even the third option. So I wonder if he's going to be cool thinking that he's an all-star caliber player, but just being cool to space the floor, make open J's, rebound, defend, and block shots, because I think he thinks he's way bigger than all of that. But if he just does that, then the team's going to be super duper dangerous.
Yeah, everyone knows how scary they were when they're in beast mode, when those three are all doing what they do, what they're known for really well. And when he was doing that, when he didn't have the burden of scoring or being an option, he kills. He excels. He, you know, you wouldn't think of driving on him 2 years ago.
Who would you finish games with if you were OKC?
I'd have Cantor and Ibaka and Durant. Yeah. Westbrook and probably
Augustine and Waiters. Just throw everything on Waiters. See what he can do.
I don't know. I don't mind Robinson. He doesn't have to score. If he can be competent at the two spot, take his opportunities when he gets them, knock down a few open shots. That was Fisher.
Yeah, but he could knock down a shot. They're going to play Robinson like he'd play Tony Allen.
We've got to stop talking about Fisher.
Yeah.
We've got to let him go.
He's relevant. He was relevant, and he did knock down those shots. That's what I'm saying. If Robinson can knock down an open three ball, then he can cement his spot there, because he's probably the least damaging player, I would say, unless you can live with Waiters taking a lot of shots off Durant and Westbrook, which won't happen. So, I know, who would you finish with out of those guys?
I think Singler. I'd be the same, but I would have Singler in that second wing position, because he can guard guys. He's respectable from three. He's not like a black hole, just plays the right way, but he was kind of a letdown last year. So hopefully he can just sort of do what he does, and then that's a good five guy. I reckon that's key in winning the chip. You need to know who your best five is and have them out on the court in crunch time a lot.
Give me a yes or no, Bag.
yes or no, Steven Adams would win a fist fight with Aaron Baines?
I go with Adams.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
Just got a better reach.
Yeah, well, he's getting the tribal tattoo going. He's tried the mustache. Now he's got the long hair and the bandana. I'm going to go with Adams because I think straight 180, Baines would be a bit like kind of pulling hair, T-shirts, you know, get all weird. He wouldn't really be fighting.
Okay.
Yes or no? Okay. Well, what about hypothetical? No, with hypothetical. Okay. This is another stupid one. Sorry. But Stephen A. Smith Kevin Durant were fighting a lot. And Stephen A. Smith. What's Stephen A. Smith's show on ESPN?
First Take.
Yeah, First Take. If you ever get a chance to watch it, never watch it because it sucks. Oh, my God.
Two guys yelling at each other.
It's so weird. It's such a weird show, the ESPN support. And
who do you hate more, Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith?
It's got to be Skip Bayless because he's so creepy.
Easy.
Yeah. Hypothetically speaking, so let's say the Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith feud gets out of control, like way out of control, to the point where KD releases photos of Stephen A. Smith wearing diapers and being shit on by a German prostitute. And then Smith retaliates by posting photos of Kevin Durant getting a blowjob from a male airline stewardess on an away flight. Which Twitter feed would be more harmful for the person?
I just need to process that for a hot second.
What's worse?
I think my brain just caved in on itself. I don't know.
Is it that bad? Could be the worst one I've done yet.
Might go with the blowjob on the airplane thing. Yeah,
that's more
It's
damaging, I think.
That's every day for United Airlines, but okay.
Didn't like Ralph Fiennes or whatever, that dude from The English Patient? He got sucked off on a plane. He's all right.
Not by a guy.
Still
though.
The Mile High Club in one way or another. Yeah.
What's the weak link? Rabbit.
It's Dion Waiters. Of course it's Dion Waiters.
Yeah.
He's on the, if they can handle another season of terrible shots and letdowns, I don't know, on this ball dominant team, it's not going to end well if he has a tanty or two.
Well, there you go.
So,
All right, well, that's Oklahoma City. Let's move into the Los Angeles Clippers, who finished third last year. Probably had the most dramatic offseason. Everyone's favorite team to hate. Let's see, they finished with a 56-26 record. Very good until they lost to the Rockets. In a shameful, shameful display. ESPN has them at fourth this year. I got them at third. And I'm guessing, Bag, you got them at first.
No.
Okay.
They're my sneaky pick to win the title.
Yep.
But I think it's going to take them a little bit of time to get it together. And they're going to rest dudes. And I've got them finishing fourth in the regular season.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's break it down. What do you got, Rabbit? Tell me quickly. Go, go, go.
Fifth? Yep.
Wow.
Fifth, that's right.
All right, well, the key additions would be Wesley Johnson, Paul Pierce, Prigioni, I guess, Josh Smith, and Lance Stephenson. Do the Rockets beat the Clippers without Josh Smith last year?
They shouldn't have beat the Clippers.
Yeah, but do they beat them without Josh Smith? The answer, I think, is no. So I think it's a huge get for the Clippers. I really do. I think he's... shown last year he can actually hit outside shots and make really good decisions and work good with a big man like maybe DeAndre Jordan. And then the Celtics tribe is back together with Paul Pierce. That's amazing. Who doesn't love that? The coach says he was trying to get him for 3 years. And then you've got the wild card in Lance Stephenson, who didn't feel respected in Charlotte and now is here to feel respected with the Clippers. Probably doesn't have as much pressure, won't have to play that many minutes, could do good. I have a feeling he's going to do okay, but you guys might laugh at me.
Yep.
His track record's not good. Yeah. Who are they going to start here at the three, do you think? Are they going to start Paul Pierce? Are they going to start Lance? Are they going to start Wesley Johnson?
Well, Doc was talking about starting Wes Johnson in preseason. Everyone sort of laughed him out of the room, but I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I think
don't either.
I think it's fine. And I don't think it really matters who starts. It's more who finishes.
Yeah.
I think you're better off starting him and seeing if he develops there. You're much better putting Paul Pierce on the second unit anyway and then putting him in the clutch later. But he needs the ball in his hands a bit more, and he can do that on the second unit with guys like Austin Rivers and Josh Smith, etc. But he's definitely finishing for sure. Absolutely. And they need that. They need that in the clutch. They look at times last in that Houston series, no one fucking wanted the ball and they just kept deferring to Griffin, who was dead tired, and it got predictable and no one really wanted, like Jamal Crawford was throwing up bricks, which is weird in that something went really wrong in that series. Like Paul, obviously Chris Paul was super injured and stuff.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
You remember at the end of that game six, like no one wanted the Rock. Redick was throwing up bricks. No one wanted it. I think a calming influence with the truth there, they would have been loving that at that time. So he's obviously, there's no understating that.
Do you think they're going to run Griffin and Smith at the same time when they rest Jordan? Who's playing center when there's no Jordan?
Yeah, that's fine. Well,
they can. They can do that, yeah.
So they're just running a bit small. Again, DeAndre got a huge mad fro, too. Just almost looks like he's been electrocuted. JJ Redick, Jamal Crawford, shooting guards. Still feeling good about them? Are they getting a little bit older now?
I got no problem with this team. I got no problem with the construction of this team. Because if you look back to, obviously, we spoke about last year, and it was that huge Game 7 win over the Spurs. CP's finally broken the shackles of the regretful decisions he's ever made. And here he is, and then they have this like catastrophic clusterfuck against the Rockets. And then that team was running with zero bench. Big Baby was in the mix. Hedo Turkoglu was in the mix.
Yep.
Even your main
Hawes.
Yeah, Spencer Hawes, rubbish. And now you're adding Pierce, Smith, and Prigioni and Stevenson to that group. That's money. That's money all day. And everyone's been talking about, and Doc Rivers especially, has been talking about how much the window is closing, which I think is absolute bullshit. DeAndre's 27, just signed a 5-year deal. CP3 is only 30. He's still got another 2 years left after this year. Same with Blake, and he's only 26. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. I don't see why this team shouldn't contend based around those three guys for like another 3-4 seasons minimum. And you've got to hope the breaks of the game go your way. They've got the team to do it right now.
Are you a little bit concerned about their defense when DeAndre is not on the court?
Well, I think Smith can handle it. And then you want to be playing Paul Pierce a power forward for stretches as well, because he proved that last year in Washington in the playoffs that's the position that suits him better. And I don't think you want him having to guard Kevin Durant. You don't want him to have to run around trying to guard Klay Thompson or any of these guys. I think he's probably best suited as a small ball four. And you're just these guys are just sort of treading water with the second unit because you're starting five so dominant. That's what happened last year. They had to try and build up a reasonable lead so that their god-awful bench wouldn't completely fuck it up for everyone.
Sure. Do you think that Stevenson can kind of be that defensive stopper for them now? Because Barnes used to do that. He was someone you put on KD, for example. Do you think they can – who are they going to put on KD?
Well, yeah, they're the guys, aren't they? Him and Wesley Johnson. They're going to be the ones. And even Mbua Amute. He'll get a look in there as well from time to time. But you just go, I wonder if Stevenson can stay on the floor. Everyone's talking about how he's fully dialed in, but you see him, he's just trying to shake and bake everyone, and everyone's sagging up him now because they know he shot 17% from three last year. Yeah. I think the jig's up. They're going to let him shake and bake all day, and I'm worried that Rivers is just going to get jack of it.
Yes or no? Griffin, CP3, and Jordan are Clippers for life.
Well, it would seem to be at this stage.
That's not... It's yes or no.
Well, after DeAndre Gate or whatever you're calling it,
he can't really leave anymore. Yeah. Is CP3 going anywhere?
Yeah, he's a bitch. He's got no brand loyalty.
Surely he's going to go ring hunting.
In a league in which we've seen Paul Pierce change teams four times in 4 years, aren't you worried that with all these teams, though, all of these teams we're talking about now, if you finish outside the top four in the West, you're playing away from home in a 7-game series every round until the finals, and maybe even not then. If you finish fourth, you're going to have to play some combination of OKC, Houston, Golden State, San Antonio, and the Clippers as the away team every round. Like, how can you expect to win the title if you don't finish in the top four of the West?
You can't. I think you just said it. All right, well, let's hit me with a hypothetical. Hit me with the hypothetical, Rabbit.
Would you rather do acid with Lance Stevenson or cocaine with Blake Griffin?
I reckon Griffin.
Oh, acid with Born Ready all day.
Dude, who knows what could happen, though, dude? He'd be like, you want to see my machete?
Yeah, totally.
I don't really want to see your machete when I'm on acid, man. Can't we just go walking? Come here, look at it. You know, at least Griffin would be like, come on, let's go. Let's fucking drive somewhere. Let's just get out of here. All right, cool. Yeah, let's go. You know, you'd just be like all over the place. I think it'd be
Stevenson,
great.
Stevenson and Paul George hired hookers in their downtime. In their downtime. You imagine what they'd get up to in when you chalk to the teeth in acid? Oh, my Lord. It'd be wonderful. He'd try and rap for you and shit. It'd be amazing.
Hot air balloon for some reason's in my head. I don't know why. Stevenson and a hot air balloon.
All right, what's the weak link, Bag?
Someone who can be fucking semi-cool on this team. No one's cool, especially after DeAndre. Now that DeAndre is a hated man for doing the big backflip, who's the next coolest guy on this team? It's JJ Redick, and he makes chicks sign abortion contracts.
Well, got like
Blake Griffin. He's the biggest douche of all time. CP3 is probably bigger douche than Griffin. Paul Pierce has got an award named after him on our podcast for being a douche.
I know. It's everyone's favorite team to hate. What about, is Wesley Johnson a dickhead?
Johnson a human?
Yeah.
Does he have any human emotions?
And not including skills last year. I mean, maybe Lance Stevenson would be a nice guy.
No.
Does anyone think Austin Rivers is going to have a standout year this year?
No.
Yes, I do.
I do as well. Thank you.
I think he's a confidence player. He's confident now.
All right, let's
move. What about Prigioni? Prigioni's there. Is there no love for him? Come on.
Didn't he lead the league in inbounds pass steals?
It's valuable, those steals off inbounds. That'll win you rings.
All right, well, let's move on to the next team. And again, you are listening to part three of the FCP Western Breakdown. Thanks so much for listening. If you are listening, press subscribe.
Give us a rating. Give us a review.
Yeah, tell us how shit we are. We love it. Houston Rockets, 56-26 last year gets you second. And ESPN thinks they're going to be worse this year, mainly due to my conspiracy theory about Josh Smith. Third, I have them at fifth. Yeah, I just don't think they're gonna be better than Golden State, OKC, Clippers, and the Spurs. But that's just me. What do you guys got them at?
Third.
Me too.
All right. Well, do you want to go through the key additions, Rabbit?
Oh, I can do that. They're
Thank you.
Well, Ty Lawson obviously is the big name here. As long as he stays sober, obviously, that could be biggest steal of the summer, if you ask me. Yeah, this team is so deep, and they have so many combos now. Second unit, first unit, can go big, can go small. They've got young guys. They've got a good veteran sort of core there as well. It's if all things go right for Houston, this could be a juggernaut. This could be super scary.
All right, what about the key subtractions? Bag, you want to hit that?
Well, let's talk about Prigioni for five more minutes. That'd be great. Smith and Prigioni, you know, what they're getting back is a massive upgrade. I agree with you, though. I think losing Smith is going to hurt at some stage. But yeah. I'm looking at my boy Terrence Jones this year. Yeah. He showed some real flashes last year. And he's just got all the tools. He's perfect for this team. He can stroke it from deep sometimes. He loves rebounding and challenging shots, doesn't need the ball a lot. I think he's going to be in the running for most improved this year if he stays on the court.
Corey Brewer is another player, I think. He's been working on his shot, they say.
Well, he needs to because it's fucking rank.
Well, and that's a big part of the Houston Rockets kind of mentality is shoot all the time. Shoot, be ready to shoot a three. Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Yeah. But, hey, Bag, I don't really agree with you. I think losing Josh Smith isn't that really a big deal.
I don't know how you can say that after watching the playoffs. He like saved them.
Yeah, a couple of times. He had a couple of good games, I'll grant him that, and it was pretty to watch. But I'm just saying they've got McDaniels, Brewer as really good wing guys. If Montezunas comes back, they've got Capella, they've got Terrence Jones, and they've got Dwight Howard. I mean, just in terms of where Josh Smith bails, they can fill those holes super easy with that talent.
But it still doesn't kind of get away from the fact that Dwight Howard's a handbag and they were mates and they had a great chemistry on there. And Howard doesn't have great chemistry with a lot of people. And him being there was, I think, beneficial for Howard more than anyone Their big man game was epic.
Well, this is part of my concern about that team you were talking about, Josh Smith, is that there's not a lot of great IQ on this team, and what you lose with Smith that you don't get from Capella is some playmaking and some smarts. So you got all these athletes, and you got a good system. They've proven that, but Capella is just he doesn't really look like he's going to knows what he's doing all that much. He's just setting picks and diving to the hoop. Whereas Smith gave you ball handling, playmaking, threat from a different area of the floor, as well as solid D and the ability to go a bit smaller. So that's my only concern, is that between him and Brewer and Dwight Howard, there's not that much on the wings and in the big positions in terms of playmaking. And you're relying on Harden and Lawson to generate everything for you, basically.
And that's the other thing. Are those guys going to be on the court at the same time at the end of games, do you think? Or it's going to be Beverly and Harden still in the clutch?
Well, I wonder if they're going to play Beverly and Lawson together at all. It's not outrageous. James Harden's big enough to guard threes. Pat Beverly's big enough and strong enough to guard half-decent wing players.
Ariza at the four.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. Mm. Not for long stretches, but for short stretches during the game, just as a different look.
Well, that's the depth of this team again. But Lawson needs the ball in his hands a lot of the time, and Harden needs the ball in his hand a lot of the time. So are they both on the court together at the end of the game? Who's taking that shot?
Oh, well, that's the idea. More threats, more playmaking. You got Ty Lawson creating, getting into the lane, causing havoc, making the defense collapse and opening everything up for everyone else. And then in case of a bailout, you've got Harden there, not just spotting up, but being able to make plays as well. But you might have a situation in the last game of the playoffs last year when he had 13 turnovers because the ball won't need to be in his hands all that much. It's going to be better for everyone. I mean, I'm all in on Lawson with this team because the way they survived with Jason Terry, our point guard last year, I just can't see any downgrades in terms of replacing him with Ty Lawson.
It makes you wonder how well or how much more of a run they would have given Golden State if Beverly was on the court harassing Curry. Yeah, it's a massive game changer.
Hit me with a yes or no, Rabbit.
Three parts. Will Harden go on a mad coke hooker binge to get Chloe back, A? Or B, keep making Instagram hate videos and throwing shade? Or C, will he be able to handle deferring a little bit of the offense after a nearly MVP season, and will he be able to handle taking perhaps less shots this season and be a willing passer?
How do you turn that yes or no question into a three-part impossible to answer in a yes or no fashion?
Yeah, and what's going on with him and the Kardashian? Are they not together?
Looks like she's going back to Lamar.
Oh. He had just another little update on Lamar. 10 strokes, and his liver is not... Oh, no, his kidneys are not working. He's going to have a transplant.
Just got to add 10 rebounds to that, and he's got a double-double.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to go no, yes, yes to your three things.
Well, you can scrap the first two.
Yes, no, no.
I guess my serious question is, will he be able to take on a new role with Houston and defer from chasing the MVP?
Well, I don't think he's going to have the ball as much this time because Patrick Beverley's back, and now they got Ty Lawson, Mr. Assists, fantasy
assists.
Right. So it's not going to really be up to him as much.
Who's he going to be? He's going to be assisting. He should be getting cleaner looks.
Of course,
more
of course.
Looks.
But more like I meant more that Harden's not going to be bringing the ball down or anything like that.
If he's got more room to move and he's not getting double teamed as much, he should be more efficient.
Yep.
He should make things happen. And if they finish on top of the West, that's going to be an even bigger indicator that he could win MVP. If they finish with a better record than Golden State or anyone in the West, how could you not give him MVP?
Well, we're not going to have time to do another Western blah blah or MVP thing. So who do you think is going to be MVP this year?
Oh.
Bag?
Outrageous.
I reckon Durantula.
The Durantula.
Yeah. I think he's just going to be a fucking volcano this season, erupting.
Rabbit?
I'm not ready to answer this.
I can't handle it. It's too much pressure.
I
can't handle it. All right, never mind. It's too much for you. Let's go into hypothetical. Back.
Right. So, when Ty Lawson came over part of the trade from Denver.
Yep.
That he had to make his $12 million contract unguaranteed for next year. So he's basically taking a $12 million gamble on his skills of playing basketball, you know, that they're going to want to pick up that option. So what skill of yours would you be comfortable betting $12 million on doing well?
Oh, $12 million doing well.
I guess maybe playing very simple bass.
I was banking on you, Wesley, saying like, if it was making like Portuguese chicken, yeah, and I had enough. To like, but...
I love your voice of me as some weird Mexican-y South California really stone guy. What about you, Rabbit?
Oh, that's speeding off million. In the mirror. Yeah, maybe. I don't have something I do that well. I can handle my drugs pretty good most of the time, I think.
What about you, Bag?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, like downloading shit. I'm pretty good at downloading stuff.
12 million. All right, well, let's finish up the Rockets with the Weak Link Eat Up Steven Award. It's the same thing every year for me with the Rockets, and it's their weird uniforms. I can't stand them. They're too red. It looks weird.
What do you think with uniforms?
I just don't like their uniforms. Just get good uniforms. Come on.
What are they supposed to do? Change the whole
not
color
look
scheme?
Like
no
it's
more red.
Like the, you know, Chinese military basketball uniform. That's what. All right, let's move on to Old Faithful. The San Antonio Spurs finished sixth last year, which is weird because they won it the year before that. Sixth last year. Come on. Think about it. Let it sink in. That's where the Spurs finished. 55-27. ESPN thinks they're going to be second this year, so they're bouncing back because they've added a little bit of firepower. I, however, think it's going to take them a little bit longer to gel, and I think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to feel a level of pressure he's never felt before playing for a dynasty as big as the Spurs. So I have them at fourth.
I have them at fifth.
Yeah. Fifth.
I sort of agree with you too.
Fifth.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm at fourth.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing also, Tim Duncan's could be his final year. You know, he could be passing the gauntlet over, but he's going to be 40. I mean, that's really old.
We say this every year about the Spurs, though, and I'm not going to talk about they're too old, they're too fucking, they're all going to get injured, blah, blah, blah. It's just about how Aldridge adjusts to playing sort of a more the-ball-doesn't-stick type offense.
Well, it's not just about Aldridge. It's about David West as well. He's playing for pennies.
Yeah, it was a very noble move, but
yeah.
I think it's all about Aldridge's adjustment to the San Antonio offense.
Well, it's a big two now, really. In my opinion, it's LaMarcus and Kawhi.
Yeah.
They're big two. That's who they're going to be leaning on night in and night out to get it done. Obviously, Duncan's going to – he could probably get 15 and 10 into his early 60s the way he's going. I wouldn't honestly be surprised, but he's going to rest a lot this year. And we're gonna I think they're gonna want to test the waters and see what this LaMarcus Kawhi pairing and to a lesser extent Danny Green as well, how that's gonna function, because that's gonna be the core going forward. And it's really pretty sexy.
Yeah.
You got LaMarcus can play close to the basket or all the way out to the 3-point line. Kawhi's gonna be swarming motherfuckers on D everywhere. Same with Danny Green. So I'm not really worried about those guys, but it's TP. I think TP is the huge question mark here. Hey,
huge concern. He was awful in the Eurobasket stuff. His hamstring still bothering him. He said he lost. He looked awful. He didn't look awful, but he was. You could see he lost a step against the Clippers last year against Chris Paul.
I can't believe you will all retire and I will still be playing. Might not really be a thing anymore.
No. Well, maybe that it ages you faster having to guard Steph Curry and Westbrook and Lillard and Conley and CP3 every night. Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me. And now all of a sudden it's kind of a weak spot on their team is point guard.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, Patty Mills can't give you what Parker gives you. He's a spot-up shooter. He can't run an offense. He can't take guys off the dribble, and they rely on that.
And they dropped Jimmy Fredette. He's out. So all they got is Ray McCollum.
Yeah, McCallum's handy. He's handy. And they also have Diao handling the ball And they're all so smart and the system's so good. It's all just cutting, moving, and passing anyway. So they don't really rely on one person to get everyone into their spots.
When you say that, though, isn't it a concern that Aldridge doesn't operate like that? Like, he gets the ball, he sets up his shot, and he'll kill you. Like, he'll get his from inside, from outside. He can slip screens, he can pick and roll, all that. But when a lot of the time when he gets his buckets, he's working on the low block or he's taking mid-range jumpers. But the ball stays with him.
Yeah, but they haven't really had someone that can command a double team in the post. Duncan, I don't think, is getting double coverages anymore. So you don't know what that will open up, the passing lanes, cutting, spot-up shooting.
Once the ball's out of his hands and moving on a reaction from a double team, then it's over. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And he loves the left block. He almost exclusively sets up on the left block. And I don't think they're going to just allow him to go and stand in the same spot every time down the floor, which is what he's been used to for the last however many seasons he was in Portland, a decade almost. So that'll be getting some adjusting to as well, like actually shooting it from different places on the floor, because it was all coming from the left elbow.
Yeah, and so you got David West there, and that kind of is going to replace your Aaron Baines, talking about key subtractions, and Tiago Splitter, which is, it's sad to see them go. And then you got Bellinelli, Corey Joseph, also gone. So they lost a few players there, but they got two great players.
Yeah.
And at what point do you really worry about how old these guys are? Yeah, you know, especially on defense. You know, and you look around the league, and with OKC and Houston and Golden State, there's a lot of young, athletic guys getting around now. At what stage is the D going to be the undoing? Because I don't think the offense is going to be that much of a problem.
Well, the problem also is that they got rid of Splitter, and Splitter was some sort of big presence who can block shots and be a defensive stopper.
Also, they're not as international.
Yeah,
sure, but you've got DL, West, Duncan, and Aldridge kind of as your bigs. I don't know if anyone there, aside from Duncan, is a massive, you know, threat on defense. Like, a guy's going to be intimidated driving on David West? I don't think so.
Well, none of them are true centers. But Timmy Duncan definitely plays amazing positional D.
Yep.
So yep. I think he's going to be the one responsible for that, with that responsibility.
Yes or no, Bag?
Yes or no, the Spurs get out of the first round.
Yes. Come on, it could be Tim Duncan's last year. It has to be yes.
You think they're going to finish fifth, don't you, VG?
No, I have them at fourth.
Then they have to play either Houston, OKC, Golden State, or the Clippers.
I have them beating...
God.
I have them at fourth and Clippers at five, and I see I could see a rematch of that series. And don't forget, San Antonio had the series to win, Game 6 in San Antonio, and they lost that.
I don't know. I don't want to answer that question. Just yes. I don't want them to get out the first. How depressing was it last year when they got out after the first round?
It's a scary thought.
All right. Hypothetical. If you were going to make an NBA roster, would you rather have Kawhi Leonard or LaMarcus Aldridge on your team?
Kawhi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Kawhi.
Weak Link Award, Rabbit?
Oh, it's got to be TP. It's sad, but it's obvious as well how average he was last season, how exposed he got in the playoffs, and he's just injured. He just can't stay on the court. That things aren't getting better for him.
Tony Parker. All right, well, there you have it. That's the Spurs. It's been a pleasure talking about them. So enjoy this season. And the last team of this epic breakdown is Golden State, everyone's favorite team to love. If you're under 6 feet tall and like basketball and maybe Asian of descent, you've jumped from Derrick Rose to Stephon Curry. He's your new idol. Golden State 67-15. First, they beat a broken down Cavs in the finals. They got lucky. Just ask Doc Rivers. I have them at ESPN thinks they're going to be first again, which is a bit coy, I think. I have them at second. Bag?
I'm first.
Okay.
Sorry, Bag. You go.
Well, I've got him first as well. You're happy to. You can answer for me because I say
sorry,
first.
Sorry, dude.
First. Here's why I don't think they're going to be first. I have a feeling about this
Steve Kerr back back issue and the fluid and all that, and not being there for opening game, not really being able to be there for preseason, I think it's going to affect them during the regular season. I'm not saying they wouldn't go all the way, but I don't think they're going to just be consistently first. I know they're all healthy and it's all good, but...
Well, he had been there. He has been there at preseason. He's just not in a limited capacity when he can, but he's been in the gym. Yeah. And B, he's going to be there on opening night to get his ring.
They bring a droid in and a hologram of Kerr comes up.
He's just on light duty, so to speak, but yeah, okay. He's balls deep in this association. Don't you worry. His face is everywhere. Don't you worry about that. So,
well, that's why I think, you know, I mean, a man who's getting his back drained is going to feel emotionally drained, and it might affect the team.
Did you see that stupid chair Phil Jackson sat on for, like, you know, a good chunk of the Chicago dynasty? Yeah, that's a teammate chair for his back. They'll make it work.
We can't forget how much they just destroyed teams all season last year. They're resting most of their starting five by the start of the fourth quarter. Roy Hibbert came out and says he wants to be Black Bogut this year. I mean, they're everything fantastic. Let's talk about the key additions. Rabbit?
There are none.
There's nothing. Yeah.
The key subtractions. Justin Holiday, who cares? David Lee, that's the big one. I mean, who saved their ass in the finals?
Iguodala.
Yep.
Iguodala.
Steph Curry.
Yep. Who was another guy that was pretty important there in a few hot minutes towards the end of a couple quarters?
Nah, not a buckets.
Yeah. Azili all day. It was Festus all day. Dude, everyone, they won 67 games. We all know the stats and everything. There's no reason to think why they can't do it again. I actually think they could get better as well this season. Klay Thompson was super inconsistent a lot of the time. I thought he definitely took a few nights off here and there. He shot, what was that? He shot like five for, no, he only scored like 7 points in game six, and they still won super easy. Festus Azili came on strong. He's developing more and more. When Bogeyman's in trouble and they need energy, he was there. He could be better. Thompson and Curry together, they only were averaging 23 points each in 32 minutes. Iggy's found a perfect groove now. He flourishes there, and he's a veteran leader. He's the X factor. Harrison Barnes at times was, you know, sort of just languishing. He can do better. I think it's scary that they all haven't even hit their ceilings yet. And Draymond Green is Draymond Green. So you're going to get, on any given night, all of these guys engaged and playing well. They could do even better.
Yeah, I think they had Carmelo Anthony is ranked 27th and Wade's like 40th and Kobe's, you know, 97th and Draymond Green's ranked 17th.
Yeah, 19. Yeah, he's 19. Ranked 19.
Yeah, 19. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Ahead of Bosch and Kevin Love and Al Horford and Paul George.
That's
and Millsap.
Crazy.
I think we're getting a touch carried away with Draymond Green.
Yeah. I love
you know,
it.
He's obviously he's very good and he can defend. He can sort of shoot threes okay. He can play make stuff. He's very, very handy. But top 20 player in the league? That's a stretch.
Last year he was.
What's
I don't
the
know.
Base on? Is that the PER? Is it PER? What's it based on?
Look how defensive you are, Rabbit.
Defensive? No, yeah. I'm saying
what
I don't think
stats?
He's a top 20 player. Mm-hmm. No, yep. I'm saying I don't think he's a top 20 guy either.
Okay. Well, he was last year, statistically. That's why he's there.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. You know, like if you swapped Draymond Green for Carmelo straight up, how do you think that Knicks team would go? Or if you swapped him for Paul George in Indiana, how would that team go? Nowhere near
as well.
Not as well.
He's
probably just like the best complementary player, and he can guard five positions. That's what makes him key.
Yeah,
of course. It's the role he fills, and he's perfect for it. It's awesome. It doesn't mean that he'd be that good on another team. I'm not agreeing with those stats. I'm just saying he's perfect for the situation he's in on Golden State now.
Yes or no, Celtics, David Lee, and Green get in a fight when they play each other?
No. Aren't they mates? They played together for a few years.
They want to rig together.
All right. Why don't you give me a hypothetical, Rabbit?
If you could pick one player from the 90s Golden State team to fit into this team, right now, which player would you pick? Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Sprewell, Mullen.
It's got to be Mullen.
Or Marshall Lonis.
Oh, Sarunas.
It's got to be rolling, shooting, outside shooting.
No way. I think they got plenty of outside shooting. Spree all day. Who cares?
Spree just all day.
Yeah, spree.
Spree.
Someone needs to choke Steve Kerr. Just bring him back to earth a little bit. Keep him in check.
All right. So do you think there's any weak link on this team, on this championship team?
No, I don't. I got weak link for Philly, who is a team full of weak links, and Golden State, which has zero weak links. I guess the weakest link's probably Luke Walton.
It's amazing how good the West is. God, it's amazing.
I'm pumped. It's a couple of days away, boys. A couple of days away. Start of the season.
No. So we might take a week off and just enjoy watching basketball and then be back a week after. That's what I think.
You have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we are. I guess that's about it for this breakdown of the Western Conference. Join us in a week when we're back with more NBA. We don't even know what we're going to be talking about. That's how crazy it is.
Bring it.
If you're listening to this on iTunes, thanks. Press subscribe. We got a Facebook page. Just search our fucking name. It's Full Court Press. I'm Wesley. That's Rabbit in the corner, sounding like a megaphone, and Bagman on the left. Have a good night. Is that all right?
On the left, on the left.